Pinsky here with episode 69 of the TVLS Video Game Podcast for TVLS.net. Seth, were you going to say something? Is that number
69, dudes!
Do you have a problem with the word tromboner?
That's a lot of dudes. What? Tromboner?
yeah, we have Seth, and that's it. Steph's not feeling well, so she's not with us today.
No, she backed out.
And Chris has a... a family situation that, well, he's posted about on Twitter, but, you know, it's his business. But it's unfortunate, and our thoughts are with Chris.
I thought you were, like, saying it's unfortunate that you're stuck with just me again.
No, that's not unfortunate at all.
Okay. What are we doing today, Craig?
We're recording a podcast.
What?
I know, it's weird. I don't know. People listen to this.
Why am I wearing this bikini?
And they rate us 5 stars in iTunes, too.
Like, that's because we gave them a bunch of free games, though, right?
Yes, we do that.
Successful plan was successful.
And we also started doing news again on the site, which is...
Craig started doing news again on the site. You were, like, stealing all the good news.
You know, I'm like, hey, guys, let's do news, and nobody did anything. So I'm like, okay, here's news.
See, the problem is I'm at work, like, a lot of times when the news stories come out and be like, oh, once I get home, I could do this. And then, like, you already have it up. I'm like, well, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, we stopped doing news because...
It was a pain in the ass.
It was a pain in the ass. As far as formatting goes, like, every one of our articles has it's part of the theme that the site is running. You know, the site has a WordPress backbone, and the theme we're running calls for a 700 by 300 pixel, like, header image. And
it's not even quite that. It's like...
Yeah, it's
650
like...
650 by 240. It's some weird dimension.
Right. At any rate, it's a pretty big image, and if you're just doing a news story, like trying to find an image that isn't pixelated or stretched out to fit those dimensions and put a story up was a big pain in the ass. Now, I set up the way the news stories are displayed on the front page and the way that they're displayed in archive mode so that the site never calls for that image, so there's no reason to use it anymore. Because if we didn't put that in there, like, it would before, like, the archives would show, like, this weird, like, stock image and stuff.
It's a horrible, like, gray camera or something.
Yeah. So I set things up so, like, we don't need that image anymore. So it's a lot quicker to post news stories. And you can just view them on the front page now. You don't have to click through. You can click through to comment and give us more page views. That would be awesome. But you don't have to click through on the front page anymore. You can just go to the front page, see the latest episode of the podcast, see the 3 latest articles. And because we only do, like, 1 article every 6 months, that's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to do more of those. And then you can just see the 5 most recent news stories right there on the front page. You don't have to click through anything for the news story. So I'm just trying to make it more convenient for readers and just trying to balance our, you know, lives as individuals and, you know, our desire to put content out there for people.
But I actually like the new layout a lot more.
I do, too. I like this a lot.
It's not just, like, 20 podcasts all lined up.
I know. Well, for a little while there, for a few months, like, podcasts was, like, the only thing we were doing. And it is our most popular thing. That's what people really, you know, they go for the podcast. But we got the news, and people seemed excited by that. People were like, what, are you doing news again? And I'm like, wow, like, I didn't realize it was such a missed thing. But
like 3 people were excited.
No, it wasn't just not, because it wasn't just on Facebook and stuff.
And then you were one of them.
I was the third person. I counted for 2. It was actually only just 1.
It was Chris. He's like, yay!
Yes, I feel important again. But, not an eventful week for me. I was supposed to go to a show last night.
What kind of show?
A music, live music.
Oh, like a concert.
Oh, see, I hate that word.
Right? It's
weird. I hate the word concert. Or like when you go to, like, I don't know, a theatrical show, a play. Like, I feel like I'm in, like, 3rd grade, putting on a play for my class.
Yeah, but, like, a show is very vague.
It is vague. You're right.
We need to come up with new, better words.
Yeah. Because I really hate the more distinctive. I hate the word concert. I hate the word play. I hate all that shit. But, yeah, we were supposed to go to a show last night. And Dan and I used to do this all the time. Like, 5 years ago, we would go to, like, several shows a month. And, you know, people probably go more than that, but the thing is, like, we live in the middle of nowhere, so, like, the closest venues are, like, 1 hour away, so 2 hours round trip for a few-hour show, like, it's really not economical, but we used to do all the time. We used to go if the ones at the closest venues. If there was nothing playing at the closest venues, like we would go to Boston. But that's that's a hike. It's like it's a 2-hour drive, a 45-minute T ride, and then a 45-minute T ride back, and then another 2-hour drive.
Like what's a T ride?
T is the subway. It's the Boston subway system.
Oh, all right.
So that's you know that's a good like 5.5 hours or so. Just for like a 3-hour show.
Yeah, that's not worth it. I don't know what the hell you're doing.
Well, that's what we were doing last night, but then it snowed. And the
snow... Oh, you East Coast. Yeah. Always snowing.
The snow wasn't too bad, but I mean, it was just kind of like, do I really want to drive 5.5 hours with like snow and ice? Like, oh, maybe a few years ago, I'd be like, hook up the fucking sled dogs. But now I'm just like, whatever, I'm old and lazy and I'm not doing it. And it just sucks because we used to love going out and doing that all the time. And now it's just, I'm old. Let's watch some Netflix.
but you did go to a show.
We did not go.
You did not go.
We did not go.
Because it snowed.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was a deal breaker.
Wow.
That's New England, dude.
To be fair, I wouldn't like know what to do if it was snowing. Like, shit, do I build an igloo to survive? I don't know.
Stock up on the canned goods. It's coming down.
It's like 5 flakes.
Nah.
Is that what snow is called? Is snow called flakes? I don't even know.
Snowflake? Yes.
Yeah, okay, snowflake. Yeah, that's the word. That's the thing.
It sucks. That would have been the old... I was so looking forward to that. And, like, of course, Ticketmaster got all my fees. I hate that shit. The tickets were, like, $15, which was awesome because, like, ticket prices have been going up. We used to go to shows all the time for, like, $12 and shit. Now they're, like, $25. I'm like, what the fuck? Same places, same artists, but... Prices go up, but so it was $15, which was really reasonable. And then Ticketmaster took like $5 per ticket. I'm like, what makes you entitled to 33% of this shit?
That's it, only $5. I was like trying to buy some Ticketmaster tickets. They wanted like $20 extra tack on the shit. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, the higher ticket price, I think the higher they take. At least this time, they didn't charge me to print my own tickets because they did that once.
I've seen that. I've seen their printing your own ticket fee. It's bullshit.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. Like, I'm saving you postage, and I'm the one who has to cough up, like, the ink and shit, and you're charging me to print my tickets? They don't do that. I guess, I don't know if they do that. I don't know if that's a blanket thing, but the last couple shows I went to, they didn't charge me, so I don't think they do it anymore.
Why are we ranting about things like it's, like, 2002? That Ticketmaster.
I don't know, because there's no way to buy tickets otherwise, except for at the door, and then they mark them up. So then you're paying more than Ticketmaster anyway. And then there's like 5 people in there like, wow, I'm glad you charged me extra. There's nobody fucking here. Oh, man. Well, what about you? What'd you do? Anything exciting?
I spent like an entire week trying to get Jet Set Radio pictures into Jet Set Radio. Like, download.
Were you doing like porn?
What? No, not porn. Did you say porn?
I did say porn.
No. It's something I'm trying to do, but the broadband adapter fell through. That thing... Like,
wait, what?
It works great. The broadband adapter for the Dreamcast works great for like browsing the internet, but none of the pictures you can save with it are recognized by Jet Grind Radio.
Why not?
I don't know why not. I'm like on like message boards that look like they're still from 1999 that are like Dreamcast message
it's
boards.
It's like a spinning like mailbox, like emails.
Yeah. I'm like asking people. I'm like, does anybody know? They're like, no, dude. I don't know. PSO. Play some PSO with us. People still have their like, PSO servers up. I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah,
weird. It's a weird time warp going on. Like, let's play some 4x4 Evolution, but. Yeah, so that's not working at all.
Is it, like, certain file types? Is that the problem? Or maybe, like, certain sizes, even?
Well, sizes don't matter. It has to be a JPEG. It has to be a non-progressive scan JPEG or whatever.
That's fine. How do you determine that? Is there a difference?
I guess the progressive ones are the ones that, like, load as the page loads, and the non-progressive ones are the ones that just pop up all at once they're ready.
I've never even – my mind is boggled. I don't even – I've done web design and graphics. I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But I've made sure it's, like, the right file type and everything. But, let's see. Well, somebody made a homebrew browser for the Dreamcast, right? It's called XDP.
Okay.
You can convert it to, like, a CD-ROM and just pop it in.
Mm-hmm.
And it works really good. It works with the broadband adapter and everything. And you can save pictures. If you press, like, X plus A over them, it saves them as, like, passport.p00. But – Jet Set Radio is not recognizing these at all.
And well, it's not a JPEG. That's .p00.
Yeah, no, it is a JPEG. It converts it onto the VMU as a .p.00 file.
Now, does it do that with any browser?
Yes and no. Here's the thing. I actually have some really old pictures that I saved onto my memory card that I used back in the day.
Do those still work?
Those still work. And the difference is that they are DreamKey.p00 files. And none of the DreamKey browsers that exist work with a broadband adapter. So,
is that, man, I wonder how you get around that.
I have, like, reluctantly gone back to trying to use a dial-up modem. There's no phone outlets in this entire house. I don't know why. It's a crazy person built it. I don't know.
Wow.
So we actually have a, like, where you could plug in a phone cord into the back of our cable modem.
Okay.
But that's nowhere near anything. That's nowhere near the TV or the Dreamcast or anything.
Go to, like, Radio Shack, make them feel important, and buy, like, a 50-foot cord.
I would need, like, a 200-foot cord.
Oh.
Yeah. So, what I did was I hauled my Dreamcast and my laptop over near there. I, like, used my video capture stuff to actually start connecting it. Apparently, there's, like, a comprehensive list of free ISPs that work with Dreamcast modems. And I was successfully able to get on to at least browsers using that, using the free ISPs and the old Dreamcast dial-up browsers. So that part worked. I was running into issues with Jet Set Radio still, but then we had to record this podcast. So I've been like doing this like literally all week. It's important, and I can't say why.
It's important, and you can't say okay.
I'm trying to do something.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess you are, but.
So, I'm getting close. I could feel it. I could feel that I'm getting very close to doing this.
I would push my Dreamcast out the window and say, fuck this.
Yeah. The, like, built-in browser in Jet Grain Radio, like, you're only, like, allowed to visit, like, its own little website area.
Yeah, that's how a lot of, I think, like, Sonic Adventure did that as well. Like, there's a few of them that did that.
Which no longer exists, so, like, they don't connect to anything, but there's actually, like, built-in secret codes where you could access the full internet with those. So, like, if you're in any of those browsers in Dreamcast games that don't go anywhere, if you hold A and press start 10 times, you unlock, like, all these functions.
It's like a debug thing, it must be.
I think somebody was planning for the future. Hmm. They just hid it in there. So, yeah, you could, like, access URL bars and stuff and go wherever you want once you do that.
So, could you use that browser and download your stupid shit?
Yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm getting close to that.
Oh, okay. So, you haven't necessarily tried that yet?
I've tried, like, where I could connect to the dial-up internet browsers that aren't in Jet Grind Radio. All I have to do is put in a phone number for the free ISP, and it works. In Jet Grind Radio, it's a little more picky. It's like, you need to put in a username. You need to put in a password, even though, like, none of these things, you need them to connect to the ISPs, but Jet Grind Radio demands them. So I think I just need to, like, put in bullshit, and it'll work. But, like, literally, I had to stop because we had to record this podcast.
Okay. You even had 15 extra minutes.
I did.
You did. But I was eating dinner. I'm sorry.
I was already cleaning up everything by that point.
Oh, okay.
Trying to move it out of the way, yeah.
Tonight,
I'm going to get this shit to work. It's going to be fantastic.
That's some persistence right there. I'd be done. I don't know. I have a lot. Like, if this was, like, 10 years ago, I had the patience of a saint to make sure shit worked. I'd be frustrated, but it would get done. Now I'm done. No, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not fucking around with you.
I've nearly given up a couple times, but I was just like, no. I'm going to do something. It's going to be this. I'm not going to let this thing kick my ass.
I'm persistent when I need to be, but for stuff like that, nah. 10 years ago, I would have been doing the same exact thing. Now I'm like, nope. No dice, Jet Set Radio. It's not that important to have pictures of Mega Man in my game.
It's going to work.
Listen to this guy. Oh, man. You'd be awesome. You could, like, you know, like, Photoshop a picture of, like, Beat, spray painting Beat, spray painting Beat, spray painting Beat, and, like, have him spray paint it in the game.
You're reading my mind, and it's crazy, but yeah. I've got something like that planned.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll see where that goes. Or like a mirror image. He's like looking at himself, like, oh, who's this handsome devil? Anyway, we have had some exciting weeks. I stayed at home from a snowstorm, and you fiddled with free dial-up ISPs.
I've been feeling like I've been going crazy.
I can't stand free dial-up. Like, one of my ex-girlfriends had, like, Net Zero. That thing was garbage. That thing wouldn't even tell you when you, like, at least AOL had the courtesy to tell you when its service sucked in. Goodbye. Cool, I'll try again in, like, 3 days. That's awesome. Like, Net Zero, just all of a sudden, things just, they stop working. And Net Zero expects you to figure, that's Net Zero's way of telling you, see, asshole. Like, that's...
Just this. I've never used free ISPs before this, so...
Net Zero's the only one, to be fair, Net Zero's the only one I've used, and it was terrible. It was like people rag on AOL, but, like, man, like, back in the day, I don't know, I never had any... I should say I had fewer problems with AOL than I had with pretty much anything else of that time. But, anyway, yeah, this is a stupid conversation, so...
News?
Nintendo of America didn't publish Fatal Frame 4 in North America.
That's not news?
No, well, no, you're right, it's not news. Nintendo of America is just, I don't even understand them, man. Like, it must be because of the perception of the 3DS that they are publishing the spin-off Spirit Camera, The Cursed Memoir for the 3DS. With me, they're like, whatever, we're just going to sit back and ride this fucking wave of cash. And now the 3DS are like, fuck, we fucking have to do something. We have to work. So we are getting that. That comes out April 13th, which is a Friday. Spooky.
Be sure to play in a bright room so that your camera could read that book.
Yeah, it comes in the little booklet with images, and the cameras will pick that up and has augmented reality functions. Unlock things in-game or make things appear as if they're in your room.
But I mean, like, playing in the light sort of makes it less scary, right? I mean, you could, like, set up, like, some sort of, like, flashlight directly onto the book and then turn off all the other lights.
I don't know. You know, honestly, it doesn't matter whether it's light or not when I'm playing, like, a hand... For some reason, with the handhelds, like, we've talked about this before, all I see is the handheld. I don't really... There's no... When I'm playing on a TV, I can see the fucking periphery. That's one drawback to, like, moving out and getting your own place and being a grown-up. Like, I have a TV that you can land, like, Harriers on... Mm-hmm. But, like, I still see a ton of, like, the you know, periphery. Like, when I was, like, younger and I just had my little bedroom with, like, you know, my little cupboard beneath the stairs, like Harry Potter, it was just me and the TV. Like 3 inches separated me from, like, the TV. And now it's just, like, I have all this room and I see that. I see all the stuff on the peripheral. And
I just picture you holding your handhelds, like, directly against your face. Smash right up there. Got a big nose print on it.
It wasn't that bad. But, hey, with handhelds, because they're so close, I don't really pay attention to the peripheral. It's just me and the handheld, which is why I find them to be pretty immersive. You know, I don't need the HDs or the 3Ds or the 5.1 surround sound. It's just me and the handheld. That's what I need. It's like books, too. Like, I get totally engrossed in books, too.
Yeah.
For a very similar reason. Hey, Watermelon just shipped my copy of Pure Solar.
Oh, you get your fancy unlicensed RPGs, huh?
I did. I'm very, you know what? The collector in me is very upset that I did not get the first run of Pure Solar. I had no idea what the fuck a Pure Solar was when that was. People pre-ordered and waited like 2 years for their copy of the game.
Can you get the CD too?
Well, it depends because they did release an OST, but it's only the first run that came with a CD. Now, for those of you listening, because it's a complete tangent, it has nothing to do with news, Pure Solar is an RPG by a studio called Watermelon for the Genesis, and it only came out like a couple years ago or something like that. And it's a cartridge. It's, you know, something they completely manufactured, and by all accounts that I've heard, it's really good. The first run came in a cardboard box. It came with a CD that if you have a Sega CD hooked up to your Genesis, you put the CD in there, and then you get CD-quality sound, which is awesome because I fucking hate the Genesis sound card. I think it sounds terrible.
You're crazy.
You know what? I know, because everyone's like, oh, man, the Genesis ball here is blong, 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 blong.
There's actually different versions with different quality output
that's my understanding.
Genesis.
But I've used several different Genesis, and I've never been impressed. Super Nintendo was always like a million times better. No, the reprint versions, which come in a plastic clamshell. I don't know why, like, the reprints, like, oh, here's your shitty reprint. Like, I'd rather have the plastic case. But they come in a plastic case with some stickers and a poster and stuff. So they're not bad, but they don't come with that CD.
Yeah, I saw you could buy it separate, though.
Can you?
Yeah.
Does it come as, like, part of, like, the OST? Then I'm mistaken.
Yeah, the OST. One of the discs of the OST, I think the last disc. I don't know how many discs there are.
There's two, four, three, I think. Yeah.
Okay, then disc four is the CD that you could put in your Sega CD.
In that case. Because reprints are compatible with it. There's really nothing different about the game. So if that's the case, then I may consider picking up the OST for that. Because that's a really cool idea to improve the CD. I've never heard, did any other games, like any real retail releases, do that?
Nope. And I've never even heard of it before.
But that's really cool that it. Yeah, I think that's really awesome that it pulls that data and you're able to get better sound while you're playing on a cartridge. That's a really fantastic idea. But, you know, it was $50, like $56 or something like that shipped, which is up there. I think a lot of people are looking at, I don't want to pay that much for a Genesis game. But it's a brand new game that they had to, you know, put all this money to manufacture and shit, so. I completely understand the price point.
I think I shall buy this.
Yeah, there's a link on the TMLS Facebook page. I did link to it, so if you guys want to check that out, it's there. But that's pretty exciting. Anyway, I get all these emails. I talk about all my fucking emails on the fucking podcast. Nobody cares.
That should be news. Why isn't that news?
That is news. Pierre Solar.
No, I mean, the new. Yeah, we should, that could have been on the website.
Why didn't you post it?
New Genesis game.
You were too busy fucking around with your fucking browser.
I was. Dreamcast is taking priority here.
Atlas is publishing Growlancer 4 for the PSP this summer. I think they're taking out the 4, but it's Growlancer Wayfarer of Time, and that's a tactical RPG series. And I don't know, it looks pretty good. I've never played one. At the store I work part-time at, we got the limited edition, I think, for one of the ones on the PS2, and I really wanted to buy it, but it's like $80 or something.
The PS2 one was released as Growlancer Generations, and it has 2 and 3 on there.
Okay, and that's it has like a special edition with a bunch of shit in it?
It's two discs. I don't know. I haven't seen
it. I'm going to check. I want to see because I'm really curious. Because I've always been curious about this series, but I've never...
I actually bought it at Best Buy a couple months ago. Like, I just had, like, their new used games, things that they do. I saw it there. It was, like, $5 or something. So
really?
Yeah. Oh, and hey, there's a hot chick on the cover. I should buy this.
Oh, okay. There is a Generations, and there is a really nice limited edition for it. But, no, the one that we got in was Growlancer Heritage of War.
The hell is that?
And that comes with, like, similar things. Look like a soundtrack, a keychain, some buttons, some cards. It was pretty nice. Pretty nice set. But, I mean, yeah, like, even Amazon has it for $71. I think we had it for, like, $80. But pretty interested in that series, so should be good.
Well,
let's see what else we got here.
Which game is Heritage of War, though? I mean,
I don't know, because like, as you can see, Atlas is taking out the 4 on Growlancer 4. Like, I don't know. They obviously change things for localization, because if they don't localize all of them, they do shit like that. Like, Dragon Quest, like, fucking, I think it was, like, fucking 9 was the first one in, like, Europe. And that didn't have, like, or was it 8? No, 8 was the first one. Heritage of War. It's right here on Wikipedia, dumbass. It's Growlancer 5.
That's, I didn't even know that was out.
That came out. Well, because see, Growlancer 4 originally came out on the PS2, then was ported to the PSP last year. So we're getting that port from last year.
So now there's going to be 2, 3, 5, and 4 in America, but no 1.
Yeah, 1 was on the PS1, so we'll probably never get that.
I think there was also a port for PSP, too.
Okay.
But we're still probably never get that.
Yes, there is a PSP1, you're right. Yeah, at this point, it's probably no one cares. But still, pretty interested in that series myself. Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance is getting a unique 3DS model in Japan. I don't know why these things don't come. I've never understood why all these unique systems don't come to the States. We get some. We get some different colors, and we did get, like, the Ocarina of Time one, for instance, for the 3DS. But the DS had a ridiculous amount of custom models, not, you know, custom particular to, like, a certain game or manufacturer. They had a ton. And, you know, my World Ends With You one is, like, you know, my pride and joy of, like, my DS collection. That shit's, like, stupid expensive now. But this Kingdom Hearts model looks really nice. It's, like a nice black with a nice, like what is it really called? Harlequin a motif pattern or whatever.
Sure, Harlequin.
I think that's what they're called, right?
I don't know, dude. I know Harlequins are clowns, but let's see. A Harlequin pattern. I'll sort of give it to you.
Okay.
I mean, it's definitely like a diamond pattern, but it seems like...
Right, and it has like Mickey Mouse ears and shit in it. Like that.
It's like a different shaped diamond, though, for everything I'm coming up with. Oh, but whatever.
Okay. But it's black, and it has nice little like purplish-pinkish fuchsia Kingdom Hearts crown on there. It looks nice. I like it.
I think it looks really good.
Really, like, kind of classy looking. And that comes out March 29th, day and date with the game in Japan.
And we shall never get it.
I'm sure they would. Kingdom Hearts is big bucks. They make money on that. Square Enix will release that.
Well, I mean, the game.
The system. Yeah, we'll probably not get that, which is depressing. We're not going to get that snakeskin one either. Apparently, that's pretty limited. Apparently, you have to enter a lottery to have the chance to buy it from a
that's
website.
Funny.
The fuck, man.
It's like not what lotteries are.
No, I
you
don't.
Win. Give us money. Okay,
right. let's see here. Kid Icarus Uprising. If you pre-order that in North America from the usual suspects, GameStop and Amazon, and also Best Buy, you'll receive an eShop code to download 3D Classics Kid Icarus. Which is, I don't know, like that's like getting like a breakfast cereal on the prize being inside of it like a pile of shit.
That's awful, Craig.
Okay,
a pile of shit is way better than Kid Icarus.
Kid Icarus really isn't that bad, but it's not an awesome game. I'll tell you, between Kid Icarus and Metroid, like Kid Icarus totally got the short end of the stick. I don't know. I think they were like, okay, let's break up into two teams. Who wants to work on the shitty Angel game? Who wants to work on the sci-fi game inspired by Alien?
That's still pretty shitty. I don't know what.
The original Metroid was not awesome either. That's a good point. But Kid Icarus, I don't know. I remember a couple years ago, like probably around the time Brawl came out, people were clamoring, like, "Oh, we need a new Kid Icarus." Like, did you play the first one? Like, if you had, I'm not so sure you would be excited about this.
I once came across an old dude who may have been related to me somehow, and he was gushing about.
He got stuck across the border on a back of a pickup.
No, not that side of my family. I was in Connecticut, Craig. I was in your home.
Oh,
home
man. Turf. You have a bunch of, like, elite liberals in your family. How did that mixture happen?
My mom turned 18, and she was like, I hate everybody in my family. So then she moved to California and married a Mexican.
Oh. So you were born because your mom wants to split your family. I'm going to marry the gardener. Like,
my dad's a gardener. Thank you, Craig.
Well, there's not a whole lot of line of work for you people.
He served in the Vietnam War, thank you very much.
Okay, your dad's pretty cool.
No, he's a failure. We lost that war.
What? So?
No,
should have been in that war anyways. I don't know.
He was born here.
I'm just busting your chops. Mexico and Mexicans are okay by me.
Sure they are, Craig.
What about your grandparents?
This old guy, he was gushing about Kid Icarus. And this was like, I don't know, like 5-6 years ago.
This old guy, where was this? Where were you? Like GameStop?
No, I was at his house. I don't know like how I played to him. He might have been like my mom's cousin or something.
What is
I'm a little iffy on the I wasn't really paying attention. Just stayed at his house for a night. I wasn't paying attention to who he was. But, apparently people love Kid Icarus.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not a terrible game, but it's not an awesome game. But to get it for free, I mean, this is something I think Nintendo should have done a long time ago. Like, you can't just make a storefront and expect people to go to it. Like, you set up a shop, like, you set up a lemonade stand in the middle of nowhere and expect people to go to your fucking lemonade stand. It just doesn't work like that. So to put these kind of tie-ins in here is smart. I mean, other publishers, it's not a new idea either. So it's not like you know, it's completely revolutionary. They should have realized this a long time ago. But
should have been doing it on the Wii.
Should have been doing it on the Wii. But I'm glad that they're doing it. I'm glad that they're doing it because Europe also got this for free as part of a promotion. I think theirs was had to do with Club Nintendo.
Theirs was cooler. Like, all you had to do was register 2 games out of like a possible 10 or something.
Yeah. Well, that's why it wasn't so bad. I mean, it ties into the game. It gets people on the eShop. I mean, I think this one is good for both parties. You know, it gets people on Nintendo's storefront, plus they get a free game out of the deal. But it'll have stereoscopic 3D, and it also has, like, new backgrounds, which is weird. But, hey, whatever.
I think it's just making the 3D work. I mean, the original Kid Icarus is just all black backgrounds.
Yeah, just plain colored backgrounds. Have you played any of the 3D classics? Have you downloaded? There's only a handful of them. Well, other than Excitebike, obviously.
Yeah, I just have Excitebike. And
I downloaded Twinbee the other day. It's a lot of fun.
Is it?
Yeah, I like it.
Hmm. I heard it's hard.
It is very hard. I'm not very good at it. I'll be honest. It doesn't mean I'm not very good at any shoot 'em ups though. So doesn't whatever. Resident Evil 6 has been officially announced. There's a trailer for it. You can view it on our site if you have not viewed it already.
Craig hates it for some reason.
I am not into this trailer. I don't hate it. I just don't think it's. Everyone's like, "Oh, that's so cool." I'm like, "What the fuck did I just watch?" Like, there's nothing. This is Gears of Biohazard. There's nothing here.
It's a trailer, Craig. You got to make it look exciting.
I really don't like. I mean, I was like, "Oh, it has footage," and I'm like, "It has footage of a guy running down the street." Like, there's no real in-game footage that really makes a bit of difference. So, whatever. But yeah, it's just a bunch of explosions, people growling at each other with things that don't make sense, and whatever. It's not terrible, but I mean, it's pretty much what I expect of video game trailers, but everyone's like, "Oh my god, it's so great," and I'm like, it looks like everything else.
I will give it that, it is a trailer. But Leon Kennedy's there, so I don't care. I'm buying this, like, five times. I'm going to buy 20 copies.
And depending on what it's like, I'll buy it. As long as
Leon Kennedy is there.
Here's the thing. They want to turn this series into such an action series, but they refuse to give it, like, standard third-person shooter controls. Like, 5 was a nightmare. I felt like I was, I don't know, playing as a confused cripple that was also pregnant and covered in molasses.
Oh, news rumors. I don't know. The buzz on the Twitter is that you can, like, there's more traditional third-person action game controls, Craig.
Well, that's fine, because if they can make that work, I'll be more interested. I'd rather not play. Like, I think 4 towed the line really well between being, I don't know, it's not really survival horror, but it's closer than 5 is anyway, and also still being action. Like, it towed the line really well. 5 was just straight action, but it just didn't have the controls to accommodate that. And I wasn't into that. I'm more excited for Revelations, especially after playing the demo.
That's a good demo.
Yeah, it was a good
but
demo.
To be fair, I don't think like Revelations was much like its trailers either.
It had
at
trailers?
Least the earlier trailers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it had trailers. Every game has trailers.
I don't remember watching. That's true. That's true. Every game does have trailers. Tetris.
Spin the shit out of these blocks. Oh shit! It's a straight block. It goes in and everything explodes.
Coming to your game console this fall.
Somebody should make a Tetris like that, where you get a full 4-bar Tetris and like just everything explodes.
Yeah, pieces just fly out. Well, didn't Tetrisphere have explosions?
Tetris which?
Tetrisphere.
Tetrisphere. I've never played that one.
It's pretty good. Apparently, it's not supposed to be a Tetris game. Apparently, Tetris was just sort of slapped in there, but
no, just like that Nintendo one, Tetris Attack.
Tetris Attack. So. Yeah, someone make a Tetris trailer that looks like a fucking, like, I don't know, like, monster truck rally commercial.
Put some co-op in there, too.
You and a friend could duke it out! Nice. I would totally be down for that. I'd like to see that, but
I'm looking forward to this Resident Evilness.
Hey, fair enough. I thought it was a lackluster trailer.
I actually really liked 5, too, so
I love the President Evil jokes are what really
haters.
I thought the President Evil jokes were funnier than anything.
I've not seen that. I guess they're referring to like Leon's best friend, the President. getting turned into a zombie.
Yeah, yeah. And there, someone said, we'll need to prove he's dead by seeing his death certificate or something like that.
I did see that. You retweeted that.
I did retweet that. I thought I died laughing at that, man. President Zombie!
That president was like an old white guy anyway. That doesn't happen. There's no old white guy presidents.
Maybe you're right. Anyway, but again, that trailer's on the site if you guys want to check that out and see. It looks like everything. Like someone that I don't know. You could take out like the dialogue portions, and I would have no idea what that game was. You could take out the Resident Evil 6 logo. It looks like Gears of War takes cover, and I don't know. It looks like a third person shooter that happens to have zombies.
I don't think I really dig Leon's look. Looks kind of weird faced.
Yeah, he looks kind of haggard. He kind of looks like all the artwork for like Star Wars movies of like Mark Hamill, where like it looked like he got punched around a few times. It looks like someone tried to draw Leon Kennedy for like I don't know, like a book cover art or something like that. Like it just reminds me of like all like the fucked up pictures of Mark Hamill I've seen as Luke Skywalker on like covers of books and shit.
I'll give it to you. At least they didn't like make him super ripped like on the Episode 4 poster art where he just looks like He-Man up there with his sword and his giant biceps. And then in the movie he's just like, hey, Uncle Owen.
I was gonna go to Tosche Station.
Luke, shut the hell up and go do some farming.
For the last time I told you to take down those ABBA posters.
Cut your hair, you damn hippie.
Oh man, why does everyone wear bathrobes?
They're getting comfortable, dude. It's hot on Tatooine.
Yeah, you're right. They got two of them sons.
They do.
But that's it for news. You have anything you like to add? Anything you didn't post to the site?
Shut up. Did you see the way Grill Lancer was like announced from Atlas?
No.
Did you see their whole? They like started this whole like quote unquote game. Or it's like, guess our next release.
I never thought it was Growlancer. Yeah, because it was Gungnir.
Yeah, it was whatever. That's not a real word. And it was Gungnir. But yeah, and then like then everybody was mad it was that game, and then not Growlancer. And then like right after that one ended, they're like, guess our next game. It starts with a G.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was funny. People were mad.
It was clever. You know, they're clever. Like when news of Catherine broke, they were cheeky in the emails too about that. So I don't know. Atlas, I like Atlas because they're pretty connected to their fan base. Them and XSEED, you know. I think those two companies are just they're really awesome. They're really connected to their fans, and
they've got to be. They got to sell those games.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you got to. Yeah, you're right. When you put out niche games, you have to know your audience. Or lose a lot of money, so. But good for them. I'm happy about that. But I don't know about Gungnir. I didn't like that, because that's basically. Because there's like a series of games there. Like, I think that's Knights in the Nightmare is part of that. I wasn't too big on that.
Oh, Rally.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people loved it, and that's fine. It's definitely something different. I'll give it that. But I think it was one of those games where it felt like it was overly complicated for the sake of having, like just ridiculous rules. You know what I mean? It seemed like a fake complexity.
Yeah, like, no, I was just reading, like, how to play it from people. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I could not. I played about 3 hours of that game, and I still don't think I ever fully understood it. And then I was just done. I mean, that whatever. You know, people like it. Whatever. It's cool. But I don't think Gungnir is supposed to be exactly like that, but still not. Can't rinse out the bad taste, I guess.
I stopped playing, what is Xenosaga? I stopped playing Xenosaga, like, in the beginning because, like, the battle system was way too complicated for me.
That's why, yeah.
It's like a 20-minute tutorial right when you start the game for, the battle. And then if you do this, you do that, and I was like, what is still going? And I just turned it off and went, oh, well.
I can't handle that kind of stuff anymore. Not because I don't know. I mean, it's not that I can't actually handle it. I don't have like Alzheimer's. It's not like I can't handle it.
I just feel like it's not worth it. I feel like it's too convoluted.
Right, exactly. When I can play such a similar game without being bogged down with like having to read a fucking user's manual. Like I just fucking bought like a fucking Jawa Sandcrawler. How many fucking Tatooine jokes can we work in this episode? I'm gonna try this. You know, it's like a fucking tome. I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
you know, it gets in the way of me playing my game, I think. But people like that depth. I mean, there's a gentleman that Seth and I know, Kyle. He likes his complexities in his games. I'm just like, he's like, I love reading stuff in games. I'm like, oh.
I have no idea who you're talking about, by the way.
Oh, Kyle, you know, like super Mass Effect fan. Yeah.
Did you say Kyle?
I said Kyle like twice.
You've been cutting in and out.
So oh, have I? Just, okay.
Well, the recording's been, like nodding along whenever you. I can't understand you. I'm like, okay. Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that. The recording should be fine because it picks up what's local on my end. So.
Yeah. No.
But yeah, he likes his complexities, and he and I argue about this, but you know, good naturedly all the time. Because I don't know. I feel like games should be intuitive. There should be a smooth experience. If you have to take me out for 20 minutes and explain about some, that's not a smooth experience.
But I can understand people who want their in-depth craziness.
Right. I mean, obviously, it's just a difference of opinion. But
just and definitely not for me, though.
Right, exactly. But that's it for news. We don't have a topic this episode, so we can do some listener questions. If you'd like to have your input on the show, facebook.com/TVandLust. I like to think our Facebook page is pretty fun. It's not just for questions, but hey, if you just want to use it for that, it's cool, too.
What is with this, like, just horrible, creepy, like, TV you drew?
I didn't draw that TV. A fan did that.
Oh, I mean, what's up with that wonderful, awesome TV?
he's dreaming up cupcakes.
I got the cupcakes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to draw a picture of you.
You already drew a picture of me. You drew it on the birthday card.
It was a Christmas card. And that was an awesome picture of you.
It was pretty good. I'm just assuming like you just stole it straight from my me or something.
I don't know.
You're like giant nose. There we go. We're done.
Anyway, David, he says, thoughts on the Resident Evil Revelations demo. I liked it. I think it was. I don't think it was too heavy on the action, just enough action to be a suitable Resident Evil game. There were no real puzzles. I mean, I think you had to search for a couple items, but and it was decently creepy, and the graphics are fucking awesome. You know, play with a decent set of headphones, and it's good stuff.
Why can't I find the questions? I want to look at the questions.
Scroll down. They're a little ways down. What did you think? While you're looking, what did you think of the demo?
I liked it. It was good stuff. Where is it? Graphics look great. It was creepy. I don't know. I think I need to mess around with the control or options more or something. I didn't necessarily like A. I think one of the control setups lets you side strafe. I really wanted to side strafe. I think
the primary one does. You hold down L.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh. Well, is there a way to do it without doing that?
Without holding down L?
Yeah.
Within control type A. I don't think so. You know, Resident Evil games are tough, especially, like, these newer ones, because, like, every button does something, and then every combination of buttons does something. It's like, how do I do this again? Sort of a pain, but it worked out well, I think.
It's really hard to, like, shoot these enemies in the head. Like, I just gave up going for the head, because they're just, like, wobbling around, like...
They take a lot of hits, too.
They're like Jell-O or something. Yeah. It's hard to tell, like, if they're being hurt.
You're right. Well, they do sort of stumble. They don't. I mean, they don't flash red. It's not.
Well, they should get some bonus points or something after killing. But no, I don't know. They're like, you gotta wait for that second groan. The second time they groan, then they're dead.
Well, yeah, they sort of like convulse. Yeah, and then they melt. I was in the with that dining hall, and that one that comes at you from like the fog. There's like there's really good looking fog in like the dining hall. And there's like one crawling around on the ground like in the fog. I could hear it. I'm like, son of a fucking bitch, where is this? And don't even bother with the knife, man. Those things will fuck you up. I try to use. I'm like, oh, I'll be tactical with the fucking knife and conserve my. No, don't even bother. Just shoot them.
How do you feel about the item scanner thing?
You know, I was reading all these impressions. Like, oh man, this is a great addition, and. I just think of it as an addition. I don't feel like it takes away from the game, but I don't think it hurts the game either. If you walk into a room and there's a bunch of shelves and shit in it, just whip out the scanner and just point it at things. There's going to be items. There's no mystery. There's no strategy to it. Walk into a room, scan it, pick your shit up, kill whatever's there, leave. There's nothing new about it, really.
Yeah. I don't like, understand the point of it. I don't know.
No, me neither. I don't know. Well, maybe because it makes you, I don't know, like, actually, like, look around more. Maybe because they work so hard on that fucking engine, they want you to look at it.
You're going
to
look at this shit.
I know. We're going to make you.
I guess in the old games, too, you just sort of, like, ran around and mashed A against everything until you found stuff.
Yeah, basically. Or that one guy who figured out you look at Wesker's desk 100 times or whatever the fuck it was to get...
Gotta get that film, dude.
Yeah. I don't know who figured that out. That guy's obsessive.
Scott, I know I put something in this desk. It's right. I just keep checking.
Nice.
But, yeah, you can scan enemies, too.
I think I scanned, like, a puddle that was an enemy at one point.
Yeah, you get more, like...
there's a percentage when I scanned
it. I guess once the percentage bar fills up, you get it, like, a herb or something, and then it resets.
Okay.
So, I guess it's a way, like, bonus items.
So, sort of like Bioshock, where you got, like, combat bonuses for, like, scanning splicers, taking pictures of them or something, like, research photos. Sort of like that. Not completely, but...
Something like that. Something. Did you play... After you beat it, apparently you unlocked Nightmare Mode. Did you play that?
What, the demo?
Yeah, in the demo.
I did not play Nightmare Mode. It didn't tell me that I unlocked anything, so I didn't really bother. I just played it that one time and then said thank you for playing, and that was that.
Yeah, same here. Apparently there's, like, additional scares and such. I don't know.
Scares and such.
Yeah,
like a haunted house, like a strobe light flashing dumb.
Well, people are like, oh, in that nightmare mode, how about that elevator scene?
Ah, yeah, no, I just played it on, like, normal or whatever. So
yeah, so.
It's probably all playing on when I buy it. I don't really play on higher difficulty settings too much.
Yeah, same here.
Scott asks, I'm pretty stoked for Final Fantasy XIII, too. Are you guys? I have my interest is peaked, but I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach on this.
I'll probably buy it just because I have the first one, but I didn't play very far in the first one.
Yeah, you know, I put in probably, I don't know, like, maybe about 10 hours into the first one, but 10 hours of just running in a straight line watching cutscenes is, I don't know.
Is that what just kept happening? I played for, like, 2 hours.
Yeah, no, that is basically what happens. I mean, there's a point where you go to... Pulse or whatever, and it's a little more open, but I mean, before that point, it's really just, it's like pretty much like, I don't know, like 20, 30 hours of just running straight.
No, it can't be any worse than Final Fantasy 12.
And it locks everything from you. Shut up. And it locks everything from you before you can use any. So you can't even get ahead. There's nothing you can do. The game's so confined.
13-2, like, fixing any of that stuff?
That's my understanding. There are, like, towns, there's side quests and a little more exploration. What is that thing called? The Crystarium? Is that, am I right? Is that how you level up? I don't know.
Probably not.
I hear... you're probably wrong, Craig. The method in which you level up, I think, is more open this time, too. Or I think I've read that. I hear the plot's just as stupid, but, I mean, I don't play Final Fantasy games for the story. So, I don't really play any game for the story, so I don't really care how bad it is. Whatever. It's fine. You can be bad all you like. I hear the battle system's better. Some of the things, like for instance, there's no party leader, because in 13, like, if the party leader dies, like, you fail, which is fucking stupid.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't happen anymore. I think there are a few other tweaks, particularly to how paradigms work. Myers saying, when I was reading them, I was like, oh, that sounds better. I don't remember what it was exactly, but it did. I remember reading, thinking it sounded better. Yeah, I hated, you know, a lot of people liked 13's battle system, but I found it to be more like you're like a manager on the sidelines rather than, I guess you can go in and give them orders, but the battle system's not really set up for that. It's set up for, like, speed and getting through quickly and getting your stars and your bonus items or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So you could go in and give orders, but I think it's sort of at your muscles just don't move fast enough to be able to get, like, 5 stars when you do that. You do it for, like, bosses and, like, that's it. You know?
I didn't really like 12's gambit system. I just like old school fucking choose a command and then let it happen battle systems.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of what this is like, what 13's like, but it's like ATB on crack. It's just too fast. Like, even when switching paradigms, I'd open up the paradigm menu, and because, you know, you had these forced parties that changed all the time, your paradigms would be different. So it would because you're a human being and you don't process information instantaneously, like, you'd have to sit there and stare at the paradigms and, you know, what paradigms do I have for this team? Meanwhile, you're getting pummeled and you're losing time, and it's just a pain in the ass. So It's just a battle system. I think you really have to be on the sort of autopilot that it gives you in order to do it well. You know, I think it needs to be slowed down a little bit.
Oh, well, still better than The World Ends With You.
You're just trolling the fuck out. Fuck you.
You sent me that thing on Swapno, dude. I'm just...
I was like, I wanted one last frame in that. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, make her a grinning idiot. I like that. I thought I did a good job on that. I liked it.
Well, you're feeling the wrath.
And then I sent everyone that mutant muds one with all the confetti.
Yeah, see, you're just rubbing shit in. Oh, I'm playing mutant muds. Look at me, swap note friends.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, because who is our friend Zach asked me? He's like, how are you playing mutant muds?
Yeah, well, because Jules loves you.
He does. Noah asks, how badly do you hate SOPA?
Almost as much as I hate Craig.
You should have said The World Ends With You. That would have been, like, I don't care if you hate me.
Yeah, that probably would have been, yeah. That would have
you blew that one. Deeper.
I did.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone really likes SOPA or PIPA if you're not in the entertainment industry. Or getting money from the entertainment industry. I don't think anyone really likes it. So... one thing I don't like, and I wrote an article on the site about this, I started getting, you know, comments on my videos on YouTube, and they're basically like the same thing as like these stock things. And like, hey, Craig, I'm boycotting, you know, you should boycott E3 because it's run by the ESA, and the ESA endorses SOPA, and et cetera, you know, don't cover it, or, you know, don't watch anything about it, or any, don't go to it, or all this other stuff. I'm like, are you asking other people to do your boycott for you? Like... I mean, for the average person, boycotting E3 has, like, minimal impact. Like, it's like the laziest boycott in the history of the world. Oh, I'm just not going to go on the blogs this day. Ooh, man, fucking Malcolm X up in here. Look at this shit. Jesus Christ.
No. Fight the system, dude.
Yeah. I wrote an article because I thought this was dumb because, you know, E3 might be the house that the ESA built, but it affects so many more people than just the ESA, you know. And, you know, it's like bombing an orphanage because there's a couple of bandits, like, hiding out there. No, there's probably better ways to fight that fight.
As far as I know, ESA, like, pulled out SOPA support.
They did. Probably because everyone's... But, I mean, they pulled support out of a bill that's sort of like a carcass rotting in Washington right now. Ooh. Yeah, another rebel. Watch out, we have a badass here. But, I mean, it's also sort of like – I mean, honestly, I think it's a dumb boycott because it affects more people than just the ESA. But on the end of the person doing the boycott, it's also kind of weak from their perspective. Like, oh, I'm just not going to read E3 news. Well, yeah, if you really want to boycott the ESA, how about you don't buy any games from publishers in the ESA? So don't buy any Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony, Sega, THQ, EA, Ubisoft, XC. Don't buy any games from them. That's a real boycott. And no one's going to fucking do that. Everyone's going to, I'm not doing that. Right, because you're the laziest boycotter in the history of mankind.
No, because they want to play some games.
Right, exactly. And so you're not really boycotting the ESA. You're boycotting E3. And at which point, it comes back to my original point that affects way more people than just the ESA. And it's sort of silly, you know. Target who you want to target. Don't... Because the whole point about SOPA, the reason why the whole internet's upset about it is the collateral damage. We're the collateral damage. The bills aren't meant to target people on YouTube, although they could be part of that. You know, everyone's like, oh my God, Twitter will be shut down. Like, no, Twitter could be shut down. Let's be accurate here. Mm-hmm. Things like that would be the collateral damage in a bill that's targeting piracy. They could also target other things, but it's not the aim of the bill. And that's the same thing with what you're doing. So you're just responding in kind. You're responding with a boycott that has a ton of collateral damage. You know better than the people, you know, the architects of SOPA. Don't do that. That's stupid. I'll give you that you're passionate, but not really thinking things through. But anyway, SOPA sucks, and so does PIPA. I think everyone knows that.
Yep.
Common knowledge. Tyler asks, what are some GBA games you enjoy? Not to be a dick, I'm not going to answer this. We've answered this several times. We have a whole episode about GBA games. So, dig that.
Just go buy Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga. That's all you need.
Yeah, there you go. Buy that. Some drill dozer.
Nah.
He also says, how do you like to play your GBA games? SP Plus. Or GBA player. Or the GB player.
Yeah, I use the Game Boy player on my GameCube.
Jordan asks, do you think it's at all possible that Sony will hold off on announcing the PS4 to focus on the Vita? I was thinking that perhaps they might even not even announce a PS4 and Microsoft announces next Xbox. I think we're just talking about this. To me, it almost feels smarter to just focus on the Vita, not even worry about PS4. Focus on, you know, you got the PS3, that's cool. Do what you're going to do with the PS3. Absolutely focus on the Vita. I think that's what they should be doing.
But if they don't have the resources to focus on both, then I think they really need to just focus on the Vita. Because otherwise that might just sink completely. I don't...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it would almost be interesting to see if they go handheld only.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I don't know if the Vita has, like, video out capabilities or something like that, but if it did... I mean, the PSP 2000s and on do, so...
I think it might not.
I haven't heard anything about it.
I can't remember.
But if you have a handheld, like a Vita, that's reasonably powerful with like a video out capability, it's almost like, I don't know, go handheld only then.
Yeah, but, we'll see what they do.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun E3.
Yeah, the industry's changing so rapidly lately. It'll be really interesting to see what they do. Bobby says, what's your thoughts on the iCollect app in the Apple App Store for cataloging game collection? I haven't used it. You don't have an iOS device, right?
I do not, no.
Yeah. So I just use Backloggery, and I'm not interested in inputting my, I don't know, like 1,700 games into another database. So I have no thoughts on it. Sorry. Rusty says, you can yell at me or make fun of me. If I missed this episode, but have you guys done an episode yet reflecting on your favorite games of 2000? We have not.
I think that's supposed to be next episode.
It's supposed to be, but we've been sort of dragging our feet on the accompanied text article. Hopefully we'll get that done soon. So hopefully it'll be next episode. Hopefully it'll be next episode. And if not, what are some of your favorites? Well, you're not going to listen to the next episode.
No, it's a surprise.
Yeah. Sorry, Rusty. Sally asks, Craig, what is your opinion and quite unique perspective as a Polish gamer on the Stop Online Piracy Act? Thanks. It sucks. It sucks. Now I'm going to go eat some kielbasa.
Sally's hilarious. I love her.
Yeah, oh. Sally rules. Don't ever change, Sally. John says, who do you usually play as in Mario Kart? Usually Yoshi.
Always Luigi.
But I mean, I have Wiggler now, so motherfucking Wiggler.
Always Luigi. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Dude, I love when Luigi, like, loses really bad in the new game.
What does he do? And he goes,
he says, oh, because his old thing was, I'm a Luigi, number one. Now he's all like, oh, Luigi not number one or something like
that. Oh, man. Also, Craig, being straight from Poland, tell me how it is being super Polish and all about Polish history.
Hey, Craig, some of that.
I have nothing.
Nothing, but what was the name of the boat you came in on over? It's the kielbasa, wasn't it?
The kielbasa. The borscht. Imram Abu Dhabi. Azam.
Azam.
Thoughts on SOPA. We already talked about that. And he has a lot of text here, but no punctuation. I can't read that. I'm sorry. Anyone interested in Sonic 4 Episode 2? Seth?
I'm Sonic cycled to death. It's just going to keep happening. They're promising, like, an all-new engine and new physics and stuff. So, God, I hate them. I hate them so much. But, like, my love for Sonic is so much that I just keep getting, like, pulled into their bullshit. So I'm very extremely hesitantly excited.
Yeah, for the game. And then you're going to hate it.
I will hate it.
Fun fact, this is me, Azam, in case you were wondering. We were not, this was not a mystery. We knew it was you. it's like fucking Robin from Batman and Robin wearing a domino mask. I'm totally not Dick Grayson. Fuck you and your domino mask. I know it's you.
Hey, Dick. Hey, oh, damn it.
Bardia asks, this question is mainly for Craig, but others can chime in too. How did you learn Japanese? What would be your advice for a beginner wanting to learn it? I bought a fuck ton of books. I have a couple of iOS apps that have been invaluable. I mean, I downloaded these back when iOS was not as ubiquitous. And therefore, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't have an iPod Touch. But if you do, I've downloaded Kanji Flip, was extremely helpful for me. Kanji Flip is basically like a self-help like flashcard system, and it has kana in there as well. So you can use it, you hit a hiragana, katakana, you can learn those. And then it has kanji in there as well, and you can do the different JLPT levels with the kanji, and it's super awesome. It's a couple dollars, and it's totally worth it. There's also Japanese Flip, which has vocabulary, and that's also only a couple dollars. But I also, I don't know, just simple things. Like, I guess, like, going to Japanese, I'll go to, like, Fimitsu.com and, I don't know, just, like, look at it and pick out what words I can and sound things out and things like that. Listen to Japanese music, you know, just kind of immerse yourself in that whole thing. As for the books I got, there's Kana Pictographics. It's like $6 or $8 on Amazon. That's a good one to learn kana. That's how I learned. I made my own flashcards with like note cards, and that's how I learned kana. Because it basically gives you like a picture to associate with the kana. And that's how you learn it. And it's sort of like silly when you like look at it, you're like, ugh, how can anyone learn anything from this? But it looks ridiculous. But it's super helpful, especially when there's so many kana. I don't think it works the same way with kanji, because I bought like Kanji Pictographics, which is by the same guy, same publisher and all that. Just a bigger book, because it's obviously more kanji than kana. But I didn't find that as nearly as helpful. So what else I got? There's a grammar book I have. I don't have anything with me. I was not prepared. There's a little grammar book that I have. I think Barron or Barron's is the publisher. It has a red, orangey red cover. It was not very expensive, but that's very good for like sentence construction and stuff. So, and then I also use Pimsleur's like audio lessons, and those are super expensive. Not that I'm encouraging you to pirate it, but they're stupid expensive. So. But those are pretty good because it teaches you through like repetition and has a natural order of things for like learning it. So it's pretty good. A lot of people ask me if I use like Rosetta Stone, and I've never used that. I didn't hear too many good things about it. Like Rosetta Stone has all this glowing praise, but I think some people are like, well, I never have to know like my horse is wearing a hat. So, you know, it's not that helpful. So I don't know. I never got into it, and I've done okay without it. So, but that's where I'm at. You can check those out.
Personally, I just ate the hearts of several Japanese men and gained their powers and knowledge, and that's how I learned Japanese.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, each heart, like you learn each heart you eat, you learn an alphabet system. So you like eat one, you learn kana. You eat one, you learn hiragana, just stuff like that.
So you have options.
Yeah, yeah, you got them all down.
He also asked about soap, but I'm tired of. What are your thoughts on soap?
Soap. Never use this stuff. Disgusting.
Not surprised.
Yeah. I don't want to get all wet.
I use body wash. Soap, like, dries my skin out. Like, I have, like, stupid, like, girly skin. It's drying out. Like, I can't use soap.
Dude, I use, like, the girliest body wash I could find. And I love it.
Well, I have, like, Axe or whatever. Like, I'm in the body wash.
But... I think right now, mine's, like, pomegranate and, like...
it's, like, oil relay.
Rose petals. It's delicious smelling.
I feel young, and my periods are nice and fresh.
Wait, what?
Dude, I don't understand women's commercials. I don't. They're not for me.
That's usually not how they go. It's usually like, I could ride a horse again.
I can go swimming and it's not a problem. Idiomim? I don't know. That's a pretty cool name if that's really your name.
Idiomim.
Meme? Mem? Name?
Me?
Mimi? He asked several questions. Idio, since this is the first time I've seen your name, usually we try to keep it to two comments, so we're not spending a whole lot of time on just one person, just as a heads up.
It's called the Azam rule.
The Azam rule. But we'll answer all yours because I'm sure you didn't know that. What are some creative ways in your experience that have helped differentiate your brand and content in the podcast, on the website, or for your YouTube channel? Nothing, because we're not super popular.
No, we're not. There's like 10 people who like us.
you know, we have our audience, and I'm happy for that audience. Because, you know, what's nice about having like a smaller audience is that the audience that you do have is pretty enthusiastic. Not that you can't have a large enthusiastic audience. A lot of outlets, a lot of brands do. But, you know, we obviously joke around about different users here because we've gotten to know them and their quirks and things. So... that's one nice thing about a smaller audience. But you know, I think we just strive to be, you know, honest enthusiastic, generally upbeat. We try to be positive. I mean, if we don't like a game, we don't like a game, but we try to, you know, have a much more positive outlook on the industry and on gaming in general. And we also like to talk about niche games. We like to play and talk about niche stuff. So I think that stuff helps, but it's not, first of all, it's not like super unique. It's not like the most unique thing in the world. But at the same time, like, I think controversy like drives things. Like, would anyone really go to Destructoid if like Jim Sterling wasn't there? Not to say that Destructoid without Jim Sterling is useless. I like Destructoid, but I mean, I think that's what helped drive traffic to them in the first place was Jim Sterling. I mean, you know, sometimes saying cunt a lot helps drive traffic.
So what you're saying is all your shitty opinions, Craig, are there to drive traffic.
My shitty opinions?
Not my words. Not my words.
Someone I have shitty opinions?
I think it was in one of the reviews on iTunes for the podcast.
Listen, I know people don't always agree with me. I'm okay with that, but I'm nothing less than honest. I don't bullshit around. I don't insult people. Like, I wrote that review for, like, Skyward Sword, and, like, someone said to me on Twitter, he was a mutual acquaintance of ours, he's like, I thought there'd be more bashing. I'm like, dude, even when I don't like a game, I don't bash it. Like, that's not my intention. I'm reviewing it. I don't have an axe to grind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, if someone new to gaming is looking to find like-minded gamers to co-op with on Steam or Xbox Live or PSN, are there forums, communities, or groups you feel are better than others where gamers can be comfortable joining without being overwhelmed or antagonized? Teaming lists notwithstanding. You know, maybe we should set something like that up on Facebook or something like that, so like some of our fans can get to know each other. Because most of these people, I mean, everyone, you know, we really, you know, receive questions from and talk to seem pretty nice. So maybe they would want to play with each other. I mean, we can
not like that.
You're a sick bastard, man.
You're the one who said it. You said it.
What should I say? What?
Let's see. No.
Interact electronically. Yeah, via video games.
That's sexy. That's sexy.
So fucking hot. Whatever,
but,
man.
But, yeah, they want to play with each other.
I think we could set something like that up, you know. I mean, already on our forums on teamless.net, which you can – they're free to join. People already trade, like, their gamer tags and do play with each other. So – but maybe we can set up something more formally for something like that. But other than that, I mean, I've met a lot of people through, like, YouTube. And even then, you really kind of have to, like – whittle things down. You know, I do not give out my gamer tags and things to random people I don't know. So, but yeah, you know, online, some of the best people I met are through like YouTube. What about you, Seth? Any?
Nah, I don't know. Like the only people who I don't know in person that I've online co-op with are people from a message board. Well, you posted on too. We've been posting with these people for like
10 years?
A decade, yeah. Mm. So, and they're a bunch of flakes, too, so it's like hard to even get games together with them, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really play with them.
Yeah.
And they're all like, Call of Duty, and I'm like, nah, that's cool.
Right? There's a few of them there. Yeah. But, no, yeah.
What are some of time management tips you guys could share that help in balancing your enthusiast hobbies, such as gaming, collecting, podcasting, writing, admining a website, recording YouTube videos, etc., and other responsibilities such as work? Don't sleep. Just throw that out. Just don't sleep. Just throw that out the window.
This is why I'm so bad. That's why I'm so bad at this. I cannot balance shit for anything, and it's because I sleep.
I'm bad at it. Let me tell you something about this. Is my work schedule. My real quote unquote job. I work 4 days a week, four nights a week to be specific. 12 plus hours. It's, you know, it's supposed to be about 12, but I end up like coming in a little early, staying a little late. It ends up being about 50 hours across the four nights. And then I have four nights off. Four nights off is great, but you end up doing all the shit you couldn't do during the four, you know, days that you were working because you don't have any time. But my 4 days off, I could record a podcast, record a video, write an article, paint, work at my fake job, my part-time job at a, you know, retro toy video game shop. I can do some errands, I can do some laundry, hang out with my fiance Dana, I can go out with some friends, and then feel like I've done fucking nothing. And it's because I do too much. I don't have any time management tips because I feel like I'm terrible at it. I feel like I spread myself too fucking thin, and I don't sleep, and I just do all this shit, and I feel like I'm going to die in, like, 2 years.
That was depressing. I'm sad now.
It's awesome. Like, I like the fact that I do all this stuff. I like the fact that I'm never bored. I don't think I've ever said the words, I'm bored, in, like, 5 years. I'm never bored. I always feel like there's something engaging and productive for me to be doing. Productive, engaging, productive, and or fun, you know. But it's not healthy, I don't think, to have this many things on your plate. At least not for me. I feel like it runs me down. Sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes I wake up, I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do all this shit. And other times I'm like, man, I want to paint, but just looking at the wall, it just sounds so more appealing right now.
Yeah.
Because I am tired.
I'm actually glad that time's, like, starting to change. Because, like, for the past couple months, when I get off work, it's already, like, dark, and I already feel like the day's over, so.
Oh, I know. Like, that's me, too. Like, winter sucks because, like, I get up, I go to bed shortly after I get home in the morning around 6:37. And so my free time, whereas with normal people, you daywalkers, your free time comes after you work, before you go to work. My free time is after I get up and before I go into work. It's a little weird, but it gives me a bit of an afternoon, bit of the meat of the day, and I don't have to wake up to an alarm, which is fantastic. I'll get out of work in the morning and it's dark. And then I'll wake up and I'll have maybe like 45 minutes worth of daylight, and then I go into work and it's dark.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, winter is very tough. It's always a chore to get through it for me, which is why I try to keep busy. But once the spring rolls around, that's when I say I wake up and I say, let's fuck yeah, let's do all this shit. That's like spring. That's like spring and summer. Winter, I'm like, fuck. Ugh, it sucks.
Yeah.
Is it difficult to dedicate what you would consider a satisfactory amount of attention to games you want to play and still have time to do all these things? In other words, does serving the gaming enthusiast press interfere with your ability to play as many games or as much as you would prefer? Yes, it does. I could be playing right now. Seth could be fiddling around with his fucking internet shit.
I did, like, if I didn't record this podcast, I would have this shit figured out right now. I would have pictures in Jet Grind Radio.
No matter what you do, like I said, I do a lot of things. When I'm doing one thing, I'm obviously sacrificing time from doing something else. And so doing this podcast means I'm not doing anything else I could be doing. And that's fine. I mean, I'm not, like, being a bitch about it. But it does. I think interfere is not the right word I would use, because it makes it feel like this is, like, a chore or obligation. But it does, I don't know, affect my ability to do other things, yeah.
The worst is, like, when you're playing video games and you're like, shit, I should be doing something productive right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ever get that, Craig?
I don't, because when I have the time to play video games and the ambition, because sometimes I'm just too tired to even, like, I have to get up and put a disc in. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even have the ambition to play a game.
I've been playing, like, my just downloadable games on the 3DS a lot more.
I have been playing a lot of handheld stuff, particularly on the 3DS, too.
Yeah, I just flip that shit open and start playing.
Yep. It's so convenient. I love the 3DS. The download games on it, there's so much great shit on there, especially if you're an ambassador. You don't even have to swap out cards. There's so much great shit right there on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, sorry for spamming. He just didn't see a topic, so he thought it's some general questions out there. Nah, they were pretty good questions, I think.
Two in the future.
And two comment posts and try, yeah. I mean, I don't want to limit people's input. I'm glad that people have things to say. It's just, sometimes I do this before I go into work, and I want to make sure I have enough time to get to everyone.
And I have a short attention span.
I know. Sagata asks, would you recommend buying the Vita on launch or wait for Sony to fix the problems people are having?
What problems are people having?
Well, people were having problems at launch, particularly like logging into PSN and applying the first update. I don't think that was universal, and I'm not so sure how widespread it is. Those are the only problems I heard.
I figured they'd have that ironed out by the time it comes to America Europe and stuff.
Yeah, there's a good chance that's going to be ironed out. I mean, I don't know. I can't recommend buying the Vita because I don't have one. I haven't played it. I'm gonna get it. I'm getting one. I already have it pre-ordered. I even went in today and I traded in my iPhone 3G, which is like junk. Nobody wants one of those. I got $80 for like a piece of crap. So, I put that towards my Vita. I mean, I'm getting a Vita, but So I guess from that perspective, am I excited for one? Do I want one? Would I recommend it? Sure. But, I mean, I can't say for sure. And I don't even know if these problems are going to translate to North America. Andrew says, hey, team. Craig and Seth, have you had a chance to check the trailer for Wes Anderson's new film, Moonrise Kingdom? If so, thoughts. Have you seen this yet?
I have not seen Moonrise Kingdom, no.
The trailer basically looks like a Wes Anderson. Like, you don't even tell me it's a Wes Anderson film. I would know it. You don't even need to tell me. It looks like... I didn't like the trailer. Not because I didn't like the movie. Like, the movie looks good and I'll see it because I like Wes Anderson. But I didn't like the trailer because I think it was just cut really, like, wrong. And at the same time, it's weird because it was cut wrong where it didn't feel like it really told enough. But at the same time, it felt like it gave away a lot of the more interesting moments in the film.
Does that make sense? Yeah, I mean, I've seen enough trailers like that, but now I don't know if I want to see the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, it has Bill Murray and it's Wes Anderson and there's indie music, so go see it.
Does it have like a... Oh, crap, I can't think of the name of the font that he uses for all this. Futura. Yes.
That's what I use in my videos. It's my homage. I don't know if you guys noticed this. In my videos, I use the Futura font because that's my homage to Wes Anderson. It's true.
But yeah, I'll definitely go see this just because I love Wes Anderson.
Sally says, do you guys know why Zom deleted himself or did he just not have any more questions left? I fucking love Sally. He just ran out of questions.
Yeah, he did not delete himself.
I think he's like Doctor Who, and when he runs out of batshit craziness, he just dies and regenerates and becomes a new doctor.
Yeah, now he's Imran.
Dabdoob, whatever the heck it is. I mean, all these real names, I feel bad saying whatever the heck it is, because that could be his real name, but I mean...
I don't think Bic is his... Oh, wait, you mean the other one. I don't know how his real name would be Azam and Imran. I don't, like, unless he legally changed his name.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
BK. I was wondering if you guys watch anime, since a lot of video games are turned into anime and vice versa. Plus lots of video games contain anime-like characters, cutscenes. What do you guys consider the best anime movies or series out there? You would probably be more qualified to answer this than I am.
Well, I mean, I watch a lot of anime, but I hate the majority of it, so I don't know, like, how qualified I'd be to answer it. Because I'm, like, always trying to find good series, and I'm just usually disappointed by them.
What, did you ever watch Death Note?
I did watch Death Note.
I liked
Death Note a lot up until a certain point.
Yeah, it does get kind of weird in, like, the last, like, half or third or so.
The last episode or two were really awesome again, so...
I didn't finish the anime. I started watching, I think Cartoon Network or something was airing it. I watched it, I don't know, a good chunk of the way. But I read the manga. And since the anime is, like, the manga verbatim, it doesn't... I don't think I really missed much. I like the manga, but I generally don't read manga. And I generally don't watch anime. There's a lot of it that rubs me the wrong way. I hate the weird sort of melodrama it has and the way people shout weird things and the poses. And it doesn't... I understand people like that. It's cool. Different strokes for different folks. Don't let me stop you from liking it, but it rubs me the wrong way. It just seems really weird.
The absolute best is Cowboy Bebop. That's all there is to it. That's the best series.
I am a big fan of Miyazaki movies, though. Maybe because they're not... traditional. They're not the sort of anime that I don't really like.
You like the anime because it's the anime that you don't not like.
I don't know. There's something wrong with that sentence, but I don't know what it is. I've had too many glasses in Merlot. But I love Miyazaki.
Miyazaki's awesome.
He just does, I don't know, just fantastic stuff. I love this. The way he conveys like his worlds... I was reading about like some of the techniques he does and where he shows like scenes of like, you know, wind blowing through like grass fields and stuff to give you this feeling that this world that this film takes place in is much bigger than the little slice that you're seeing. And it's just these clever little things, I think, that really, really add to it. And, you know, I don't find them overly dramatic, you know, like they don't feel fake to me. The dialogue is pretty good. You know, I think that they're really well done. I like them a lot.
A lot of the other Studio Ghibli stuff that's not from Miyazaki, it feels very, like, B-ish. It's like B-team. Put the B-team on this one. So
what other Ghibli stuff?
What other Ghibli stuff?
You have, like Grave of the Fireflies.
No, Grave of the Fireflies, no. That one's
that's
really
excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's the best. Like Whisper of the Heart and The Cat Returns.
Oh, Cat Returns was not a Miyazaki film.
I'm pretty sure no.
I liked Cat Returns. It's a weird movie. I don't know, but I like Cat Returns.
I like... Actually, Whisper of the Heart is the first anime that cat appears in.
I've never seen Whisper of the Heart.
Yeah, it's actually pretty motivational. Like, if you're feeling very slothish, watch this movie, and maybe it'll inspire you to do something.
I watch My Neighbor Totoro every summer. It reminds me of summer. It's a very summery movie. It's very outdoors, very green, lots of greens and blues.
Just like how when you grew up in Poland.
When I grew up in Poland, it was just like that. We had a forest with a giant cat bear.
Totoro's scary. I don't like. I would not hang out with that.
Fucking love Totoro. I love that
cat. I actually saw that movie when I was like really little, and it was like a completely different edit than of what was the Miyazaki movie.
They do that. Apparently they did that with Nausicaa, and they called it like Warriors of the Wind or something like that when it was released here. And I don't even know why you would do that. That film, Nausicaa, is so fucking good. You don't need to do anything to it. But I guess when we took over like Miramax or Disney or whatever, I guess they wanted to cut something, and so they sent a katana over with a message that said no cuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Nausicaa makes me like tear up like for five different reasons throughout the movie.
Why?
Why? Because it's very emotional.
It is. Well, yeah, that's true. Very emotional. You just see a little baby though.
What? Do you know, I hate, yeah, I'm gonna say hate. I hate, Princess Mononoke, though.
What, really?
I cannot get into that movie at all. Not even a little bit.
Wow.
I love all his other movies. Totoro's alright. I'm not gonna say I love or hate it, but...
Totoro was weird. That was the first one I saw, and I was I was a prickish teenager. I think that's the first time I saw it. I was like a teenager. I'm like, My Neighbor Totoro, that sounds... Well, guys, I don't use this term. That sounds gay. That's probably what I would have said. I was not cool.
Oh, Teen Craig.
I wouldn't say that now. I don't like using those kind of words to refer. I don't like doing that. But, yeah, I probably thought that was gay.
Yeah.
That's such a... Like, My Neighbor Totoro. My Neighbor Totoro the cat bear.
To be fair, the movie's, like, made for 10-year-olds.
It is. Well, yeah, but I'm, like, almost 30 now, and I fucking love it, so
I know. Well, you can appreciate it now.
Yeah, that's true. The first one I ever saw was Spirited Away. That's the first time I jumped in, because that came out, and that was, like, really popular. And I watched it, and I was like, huh. Because, like, a lot of... There's more nuance to his films. Like, I don't know. I guess I was watching, like, Jay and Silent Bob movies. I guess there's all the subtlety of a fucking Mack truck, you know? So I wasn't used to, like, nuance and stuff. And I was like, huh, I guess that was okay. I love it now, but...
Was it Brad Bird that was responsible for the whole Disney team-up?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, I don't think he has seen Castle in the Sky.
Really?
Because, like, on the Disney DVDs, he has, like, a little intro where he talks about the movies. And he's talking about, like, tons of floating cities and shit. There's, like, one castle.
Yeah.
I don't think he's actually seen the movie. I think he's just making stuff up.
I've only seen that one, like, twice.
I when I was watching, I was like, is that Mark Hamill? And, yeah, Mark Hamill's definitely the best.
He's just in everything, man. He'll just, like, whatever.
He's pretty badass.
I need groceries this week. And finally...
Wait, what are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Anime. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We don't have a topic, so we can just prattle on. Don't care. I'm very stuffy, though, so I'm, like, sniffling and stuff. I'm sorry if that's getting into the mic. I apologize.
Now, my allergies are killing me over here. It's, like, cold as hell, and it's, like, crazy allergy season right now.
Cold as hell was, like, 65 degrees?
It's been, like, down in the 50s, Craig. Then 40s at night, so...
50s is pretty nice here. We had a lot of 50s in December. It was pretty nice.
I call that double-layer weather.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I got my sweater and my jacket on.
And Bardia asked, did Bardia break the two-comment rule? He did. Bardia, I'm not gonna... Nah, that's the rule. I'm not going to PAX East. Yeah, that's what I'm going to PAX. I'm not. The thing is, it's they changed the way you can obtain press passes. You need a business license this time. And I completely
they just keep flip-flopping on that.
Well, here's the thing. On one hand, I do understand it because any fucking Joe Blow with any site that they've whipped together can get in as press because the barrier was so low. And, you know, like 5 years ago or, you know, I mean, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever, that was a little bit harder to put together a site. Now it's like you can do it in like 2 seconds through like Tumblr or whatever. It doesn't take very much effort. And if that's all you need, that's an extremely low barrier of entry to get in as press. Now, I took it very seriously. I almost died PAX East last year because I took my position as press and all the appointments and interviews and stuff I had very seriously. And I think I did some really great content for PAX East last year. Other sites, they don't care. They just got in for free. It doesn't matter. But they changed that. So that would have cost me money. Additionally, because of my weird work schedule that I just described earlier in this episode, I am working that weekend. I would have to take off 3 days to go. And on top of that, I'm spending a ton of money in February for a lot of games that I really want to play. So, I mean, just looking at all these things, looking at the economics of it, it just wasn't viable for me. And I would love to go. I really want to go. I would love to cover it. You know, but I would love to meet the fans. You know, we had this really cool, like, YouTube, like, meet and greet. People less so for me, probably more for Pete Doerr and Gamester 81. I'm not as cool. What can I say? I admit it. But we had this really cool meet and greet outside. I love talking to – I don't even want to call them fans. Just, you know, fellow gamers that happen to know who I am. I love talking to people. And that was great, but
– look at this humble motherfucker.
It's just not in the cards for me this year, so – sorry. Sucks, but it's the way it works.
See, and E3 was easier to get into when all you needed was a business license.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, because back then, like, again, it comes back to, like, the site, you know? Like, now building a site is nothing. Like, oh, I have a site. Big fucking deal, you have a site. Like, they're just so easy to make.
But now E3's like, you need, like, 500 million views. Whoa.
Oh, I know. We don't reach the views. I think we don't reach the views for Free Pass, although I think we can do a purchased pass for E3.
They're expensive this year.
What are they this year? They're like 500 like last year, right?
You know what? I can't remember the price, but Jeff over at Gamer Theory had like an article up on it, and it was just like, I think it was like $700 or something.
Wow. Now, so yeah. The problem with PAX East is that, or PAX altogether, is that PAX is a convention for the gaming enthusiasts. It's for the actual gamers. Now E3 is a trade event. That's you know, I understand the hurdles there. It sucks because smaller site and having all these big hurdles, and it makes a big circle. Like all the big sites are gonna already have the hits to go, and then they go, and then they get more hits. It really sort of it sucks because as a smaller site, it's harder for you to break into that. But on the other hand, PAX East, it's all about the gaming community. It's all about the enthusiasts, the actual players. And to me, it just seems weird to put up more hurdles for the enthusiast press to get in. I mean, I understand it because, like I said, any Joe Blow can get in. But on the other hand, when you make it too difficult, you know, I think you're weeding out too many people. I mean, I could have a business license because because of, like, the YouTube videos and stuff, like, I make money from the ad revenue. I probably should do something like that. And then it would be fine, but...
Does PAX have any sort of general admission?
Yeah. Yeah, but you have to pay for it. And those passes go quick, too. There are 3-day passes sold out a while back ago.
Okay.
So, but I don't know. I mean, I have weird opinions, like, I don't know. It's like E3, it just bugs me that it's so much more difficult to get into. But the PAX events are pretty good for small sites, too, if you live on either coast. I mean, if you're a small site or a small podcast and you want to, like, increase your base, even if you can't get in as press, just go there and talk to some of the developers. Because especially, like, the indie games and stuff, they want to talk to you. Just say, hey, look, I'm not here as press, but, you know, I run a small website. I have a small podcast. You know, your game looks pretty neat. They want to talk about that.
They want their game out there as much as you want. People reading your site, so yep. It works out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the reason why we cover some of these smaller games and stuff, too, because I completely understand the position that some of these indie developers are in. Because, like, when I covered Shoot Many Robots, they had, like, a line, and he's like, oh, you're press, you can come in. I didn't have an appointment for Shoot Many Robots. But that game was awesome. I can't wait till that game comes out. That game was cool. Remind me a lot of, like, Metal Slug. Anyway. I don't know. I'm prattling on. As long as it's... I hope it's interesting. But...
I'm interested.
Okay. I hope everyone else is, too. Otherwise, I apologize for wasting your time. let's talk about some games we've been playing lately. I have been playing, obviously, the Resident Evil Revelations demo. We already talked about that, but I really enjoyed that, and I'm really excited for the game. I have that and the CirclePad Pro pre-ordered.
Craig drew a picture of Jill Valentine's ass on Swap Note and sent it to everybody.
I did. Fran, who used to write for the site and be on the podcast, she sent out a Swap Note asking, hey, you know, who played the demo? Who enjoyed it? And then I drew a picture of her ass in 3D and said, I don't know, there's something about the demo I just really enjoyed.
It was the atmosphere, right?
I'm sorry?
It was the atmosphere.
It was the atmosphere. Enjoyed, right? Honestly, you really can't see her ass. You can't, well, not when you're playing anyway. It was a joke.
Yeah.
A sexist one, coming off episode 68. I'm a rat bastard.
Right? Look at this hypocrite. God.
What a hypocrite. But no, I really enjoyed the demo. Hypocritic oath. Man, I'm really talkative after. I should drink before every episode.
You buzzed?
My grog is empty. I need more. I am a little buzzed. I love the buzz from wine, man. It's like such a like a clean buzz. It's like
I cannot drink wine.
It's an eco buzz. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. And wine is awful.
It's like the Prius of buzzes.
Wine is. How do you swallow the wine? That's the part I have trouble with.
I'm sorry, it's not Corona or whatever you.
I could get it in my mouth, and then that's like as far as I could go.
Oh, it's so good. I love dark wines. I love Pinot Noir and Merlots. It's fucking good. Good. I'm drinking Merlot right now.
I could like drink a limited amount of mixed liquor. Alcohol is awful. I think it's awful.
Oh really? You don't really drink very much at all.
No, like I could drink some mixed stuff that has like vodka, mixed drinks with vodka, and then mixed drinks with, I can't even think of the name.
Have you ever had a sangria?
I have not had sangria, no.
You should try sangrias. They're good.
My go-to is, cranberry vodka. Cranberry and vodka.
Okay.
And it's weird because I hate cranberry juice and I just like hate alcohol. So, but I think like those two hates.
By your powers combined.
Yeah, I think they cancel each other out into something drinkable.
Nice. Now, usually my go-to drink is Malibu rum and Diet Coke.
Oh, I can't do rum at all. No rum.
It tastes
no,
like
no.
coconut. It's good. It's delicious.
Rum, no. Tequila, hell no. Tequila does
but,
a number.
But Malibu rum, I don't know. Like I said, it tastes like coconut. It's not Captain Morgan's or.
What I drank was it was like some Kevin Morgan stuff.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you can get Malibu
spiced rum.
Yeah. But lately I've been drinking wine more when I'm at home.
Damn, I think it's pretty awful. Bad stuff, Craig.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, that demo is pretty banging. I like that. Easy. One more demo is the eShop. Man, on the tangent, I know we talked about this before, but the eShop is just really good. That's really coming. You got codes, you got a wish list, you got demos, there's some DLC coming out. Not the DLC is awesome, but I mean, you know, just the fact that there could be good stuff in there.
We just need the gifts. We need to gift people
stuff. Oh, yeah, you need gifting options. Yeah, But nobody else has that. I mean, I think the Wii is the only one that does that, right?
Yeah, and I think it's gotten, like, a good amount of use.
Yeah, I would like a gifting option. But I'm just happy there's a wish list. I like being able to pack rat shit I want to buy later. And I think it's weird.
Have you noticed that Nintendo Show 3D's gone?
I hear it's coming back.
Is it?
Yeah, I follow Jesse Cantrell on Twitter.
Okay, and what'd she say?
And they're doing more.
Well, where have they been? They haven't had an episode since December.
I don't know. Maybe there's a holiday break or something. I don't know. I like Nintendo. There's another good feature that you shop. Nintendo Show 3D is really cool. I like that a lot.
Like, you can't even find it right now unless you search for it. You gotta, like, type in Nintendo Show 3D to get it to come up.
What else have I been playing? I played the Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning demo. Did you give this a shot?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, okay. Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning is a game coming out from EA. And it has... some, I don't know, important people behind it, I guess. It's an action RPG, and like a Western action RPG. I should be clear about this. It's not Tales of Symphonia or anything like that. And it's actually a lot like Fable. I know some people, for some reason, the internet hate about Fable is just really disproportionate. I never really got that. It is like Fable with like the weird like NPC social interaction, like farting and stuff. Like that's not in there. But like the combat, the questing and exploring, even a bit of the art style, it's a lot like Fable. A bit faster, but a lot like Fable. And bigger too. The world's a lot bigger. One thing I liked about the world is that, see, games like Skyrim and stuff, and like Oblivion, like, oh, the world is X number of kilometers, and I'm like, oh, cool, so it's a bunch of empty forests and shit. It's a bunch of copy-pasted trees and stuff. It's not... Some people like it because it's more realistic that way. That's cool. To me, from like a game design perspective, it's just really boring because it's just really bland. Like, there's no real intent behind the design of a lot of the areas. They're just plain, like they would be in real life, I guess.
That's the intent, dude. You gotta.
That is the intent, and I
gotta fully understand, have real life in your games.
I fully understand why people like that. I'm not a super. I don't dislike it, but I'm not a huge fan of it. What's interesting about like Kingdoms of Amalur is that it's a lot like Fable, where like the environments are more intentionally designed. It's not just a bunch of copy-pasted trees and stuff, but they're big. The areas seem to be bigger than Fable, and they're not just like these windy paths like Fable. Like they're big, wide open areas. They are like segmented like Fable, but they're much bigger than Fable. Am I drawing a decent picture of what these are like? And there's sure, like
I've never played Fable, but yeah.
Oh, okay, so they're like ruins and things. So it feels like it's bigger than Fable, but they're intentionally designed like Fable, which to me is like a very nice middle ground, you know.
I'm looking at some pictures. I really like the art style on some of these monsters.
It is, I think, was it McFarlane did the monsters? Did some of the art, I think? Like, it has some big names behind it. I guess some fantasy author penned the story, I think, and some guy who worked on some Elder Scrolls games also worked on it, so it has, like, all these, like, important people behind it, but I don't know who these people are, whatever. But I really liked it. It had some technical hiccups. Like, there were, like, there's weird glitch where, like, the text would, like, auto-scroll and I couldn't read it. I think that happened to a lot of people. I'm like, whatever, I don't really want to talk to you anyway. I heard that's fixed for, like, the final game. And I would be talking to someone, and then I would turn around to, like, go on the quest. I would, like, okay, I gotta run this way. And then all of a sudden, I would see, like a wall, like, stuck in the ground. Like, I'd be, like, this giant object just sort of, like, clipping the ground geometry that's not supposed to be there, and then it would disappear. It's as if the game, like, loaded, like, junk data.
Like, the entire wall would, like, be there?
Yeah, like there'd be, like, a weird, like, wall, like, just kind of, like... And it wouldn't even be, like, a straight-up-and-down wall. It would be just kind of, like, a piece of a wall floating, I don't know, diagonally jutting up out of the ground, and then it would just, like, disappear.
Maybe that plays into, the, like... Maybe your character's on acid.
That could be it.
Yeah, they're, like, really getting into the role-playing.
But I thought that was really weird. So when I said it's just like Fable, I meant technical hiccups and all. but I really liked it. I liked the combat. And one thing I liked about the demo is that it actually unlocked items that you can use in the game. So instead of like, I mean, you actually get junk when you pre-order too. But it's just kind of cool. Like, here, check out our demo. And if you liked it, here's a bunch of crap that you can get for the game. That was really kind of cool. You also unlock stuff for Mass Effect 3, so if that's your thing, you know, play the demo and you can get some junk for Mass Effect 3 as well.
That's weird.
Well, they're both by EA, but yeah, it is weird. I don't think it was heavily advertised that there's Mass Effect 3 stuff in it, so I think they're just relying on word of mouth and people going, oh, cool, and like they do get people to check the game out. Kind of like, I don't know, packing in a Metal Gear Solid demo with Zone of the Enders or something like that.
Or Final Fantasy XII with Dragon Quest?
Yeah, something like that. So, but yeah, I really like that. My copy of Dodonpachi Resurrection finally came in. I got this from game.co.uk for 10 quid, and I think altogether it cost me like $23 to ship, and it's region free. So that was a really good deal. And if you want more deals like that, follow us on Facebook, or you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TV Unless. I tweet these things. I tweet all the stupid shit I buy, so if I find a good deal, I usually share it. And I've been playing this. This is my go-to iOS game. When I'm bored or whatever, or I'm just fucking around, I always dick around with Dodonpachi Resurrection on the iPhone. But it's great to have a console version. It's an awesome game. I love it. And
what system is this for?
360.
I didn't know there were region-free 360 games.
It has to be specifically encoded in the software. So there are, like, some shoot-em-ups, like Mushihimisame Futari, which is another cave shoot-em-up in Japan. That's region-free. You can import that. This one was at Europe Rising Star Games, which I don't know. Maybe it's comparable to, like, Atlas or Exceed for us.
Mm-hmm.
Rising Star published this in Europe. So I snagged that when it was on sale. It was a really good deal. Took a little while to get here. I don't know. It took like 3 weeks or something. I'm like, it's just over the fucking ocean. I live on the fucking coast. I ordered stuff from Taiwan that came quicker.
I get stuff from Japan so fast because like it like flies straight into Los Angeles and it's like down to me the next day.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's pretty quick. I get stuff from Taiwan and like I ordered things from like Play Asia like after I ordered Dodonpachi Resurrection and they came before Dodonpachi. I'm like, what the fuck?
That British mail, dude.
Yeah, everyone was like, yeah, welcome to Royal Mail. I'm like, I don't know. We can get stuff across this entire continent in, like, 2 to 3 days.
Yep.
Mail service here is pretty good.
And we still use horses, dude.
Do we really?
No, we don't use horses.
I don't know what people use.
This is an invention called, like, cars and airplanes, Craig. They're pretty sweet.
I don't know what you people out west use. It could be anything. Steam locomotives? I don't know. On the Mississippi, they have those steamboats.
Yeah, big old steam paddle boats.
I hear they do use boats. Like, for, like, these small towns, like, they'll just kind of just drop it off at, like, this dock. Like, here you go. Here's your three pieces of mail.
Like, in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was talking to my mail carrier. It's just like, because you got to remember, even here in the U.S., like, there are some towns that are super tiny.
Yeah, I guess. I when I was ordering stuff from Japan, like, one of the options is actually a boat option. It's like 2 to 3 months.
But why would you do that?
I don't know.
Cheaper? Is it like $3?
Yeah, it's like $5, I think.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm not in a super hurry to get most of my stuff, but I ain't waiting months.
No, I mean, it's like $11 and you could get there like in a few days or, you know, 2 months if you want to pay $5.
Yeah, no, I consider that an investment. I'd rather pay the money. What else have I been playing? I've been playing, I played Twinbee on 3D Classics on the eShop. I thought that was pretty fun. I liked it.
And you're awful at it?
I am not very good at it. I'm not very good at any shoot-em-up, actually, but I love them. I don't know why. I suck at them, but I love playing them.
Because I'm not very good at them either, but there's, like, these brief moments where you just, like, do really well, and you're holy shit, I'm awesome.
Yeah, you're totally in the zone, yeah.
And then you die.
Yep. And there goes all that. All that out of confidence you had just gone.
Yeah. But, I mean, it feels good while it lasts.
Absolutely. And I've been playing... I played a bunch of DS games. Nope, I don't feel like getting into those. Nothing important. And I played Mutant Muds.
Oh, this guy.
From Renegade Kid. Yeah, Jules...
This guy and your Jules Watson download codes.
Yeah, I didn't even ask. I was just like... I don't check my TVless mail every day. Because we weren't covering news and stuff, so I just wasn't checking it every day and feel it was necessary. I checked every couple of days, but I was tweeting. I was like, "Oh man, I can't wait to play it!" And I was checking my TMLS email just as I was tweeting that, and I saw that he sent me a code. I'm like, "This is awesome! This is some serendipitous shit." So I've been playing that, and I really like it. Like the retro motif is not just the graphics and the music, although those look awesome. Like you really have to see this game. Like the color palette is excellent. It's bright and bold. I love it. And the music, the chiptune music is so good. But it's not just the graphics and the sound that, feels retro. Like, the whole design feels retro, but in the best way possible. Like, the story sequence is very brief. It's just a couple of brief scenes in the very beginning, like older games like the SNES would do. And then... the first level is a bit of a tutorial level, but no one talks to you. There's, like, wooden signs that say, you know, press this to jump, and then there'd be something to jump over. So the sign corresponds with your next obstacle. And once you're through that, that's it. The game stops fucking around. Then it's hard as dick and doesn't let up. The level design, everything about it just feels very retro. No one explains to you what the fuck the fucking MacGuffins are. Like, Jules asked me on Twitter, he's like, how many water sprites do you have? I'm like, these things have names? Because I had no idea, because nothing tells you. It's definitely like a love letter to retro fans.
So is the game challenging?
Yes. Yep. It is. I die quite a bit.
All right.
The levels are... You have a time limit for levels. And the time limit's usually around, like, 3 minutes or so. So, obviously, the levels can't be too big. But if you die, you start off at the beginning.
My one concern from watching the trailer that they have on the eShop is that it wouldn't be that hard.
You know what? When I say hard as dick, I'm exaggerating. But it is pretty challenging. Like, the game does not... After that tutorial level, the game stops holding your hand. Spikes, instant death. Then you have the time limit. And, like, it relies on the disappearing platforms thing. Mm-hmm. But they're quick. The first time you come across them, like, how am I supposed to get across on these things? The disappearing platforms don't fuck around. So, I don't know. I feel like the game is not super hard, but it's reasonably challenging even pretty quickly.
Sounds good.
It is. That's $9. That comes out this week. When does the eShop stuff come out here in North America? Thursday?
I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Thursday. Yeah, it's the 26th, so yeah, it's Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. So that's $9. Highly recommended. Definitely one of the best games of the eShop. Fucking love it. It's really good. And, I don't know. I think that... Oh, I tried playing Turok, the new Turok.
When you say new, you mean the one that's like a few years old now?
Yeah, the one that's on 360. Well, because I played the demo back when it first came out, and I'm like, oh, this isn't very good. But then I bought it for like...
So then you bought it.
Well, because it was only a couple dollars, and it was part of a buy two, get one free sale. So
I was like, buy two, get three free. I went in on that sale.
I know, right? I decided to give it a go. Whatever. I feel like, I've said this before, but I feel like playing bad games or mediocre games keeps my perception grounded when I critique games. You know, if all I play are good games that I like, then I have no real context for games. So, and at first I felt like, okay, I can dig this. There are things I like about it. The voice acting is actually pretty decent. I was surprised. The dialogue isn't always good. Some of it's pretty bad. Some of it's okay. But the way it's delivered is pretty well done. Turok himself don't talk a lot. He's like, whatever. I'm the fucking Indian. So he doesn't talk.
Is he an Indian or is he a space marine?
He's an Indian space marine.
Ah, of course.
That's what's weird about this game. I played for a little over an hour. I don't see myself going back. It takes place in I don't know if the whole game takes place in a jungle. The cover's like green, so I assume so. But this is the most linear fucking jungle I've ever seen in my life. It's a fucking jungle, but everything is like a straight line. And it's never very interesting. The skirmishes aren't very interesting. There's no real wide open areas. The aiming feels a little floaty. And it takes a while to kill things. Like, you know, you have this slightly inaccurate aiming, and then you have these really, like, tiny, zippy human enemies, and you feel like you can never hit them. And then you get the bow, and then the bow is, like, one-hit kill. And that's awesome. But you can't, like, retrieve your arrows, and I feel like arrows are in short supply. So
I like that you, like, have this space marine futuristic rifles, and they take forever. But then the bow... The bow kills things one hit.
Bow tears them, yeah. Bow kills humans in one hit.
I think the Space Marines need to reinvest their money.
Probably.
All bow technology.
I mean, it could have been an okay game. I think really, like, the aiming and, like, the how long it takes to kill things. Some of the dinosaurs are pain in the ass. Like, these little pecker dinosaurs, you have a knife. And I always feel like when a game gives you something like a knife, that's a risk-reward weapon. You have to get close... But it's reasonably powerful. The problem with the knife in Turok is that you can only kill with it when there's a QTE on the screen.
Mm.
So, like, it's something that the dinosaur... Like, you have, like, these little pecker dinosaurs. And, like, they're a pain in the ass. You can kill them with a gun, but good fucking luck. You're going to be spraying and praying because they're too fast and too little. So the idea is to get really close, and then when you get them with a knife, it's a one-hit kill. But you can only really hit them when the knife icon is on, when the right trigger is on the screen. And it's a pain in the ass. And meanwhile, they're chomping away at you. You only take a couple hits in this game. You can't take too many.
That's dumb.
Yep. You know, and it's, you know, and it's a shame that they Space Marine find Turok. Like, it's okay. Like, it would have been fine from, I'm one of those people who gets hung up on a name of a game. you know, that they want to call it Turok and make it Space Marines, just make it a good Turok game. Like, I don't care. But it sucks that they decided to ditch what made Turok Turok and then make a completely lackluster game. That's the problem. And I feel like, why couldn't you stick with the Turok formula? No one's doing that. No one's making these big, open, first-person shooters where you have to find keys and levers and explore and kill dinosaurs and ghosts and shit. I don't know. Like, no one's
making. Because somebody went, all right, how do we make Turok relevant in this day? What's going on? And then somebody else went, Space Marines!
Yep. It was totally designed by Committee Turok, but I just feel like there's still... I mean, I think that's why I like Bioshock so much. Like, I know you're not super hot in Bioshock, and that's fine. But Bioshock to me represents like this you know this game formula that's a bit older where you have these maps that you can explore where you have an arsenal of weapons that's like 80 fucking guns huge, you know, games like you know like Turok and you know even like Duke Nukem 3D or you know we don't get games like that as much anymore, and you know I think that's why I love Bioshock because it's a lot like those. I just feel like I wish people invested, you know, more into those games. I wish developers and publishers were more into that. But now it's just like straight line, watch a cutscene, straight line, watch a cutscene. Which is fine if it's good. I like Gears of War. But when it's mediocre, it's just all the more apparent that it's just a cash-in, I think. Yeah. But that's about it. What about you?
I've been playing Jack. No, I played, what did I play? I'm having problems with Saints Row the Third right now, and that's that I'm, like, starting to run into shit tons of glitches.
Oh, no, that sucks.
Yeah, and there's one mission that you have to do, and you got to go through, like, this whole virtual reality Tron world, and then you fight a boss at the end of it. And this boss just disappears.
Maybe so that's part of the Tron world, I don't know.
No, you're in the arena... And you, like, shoot him a bunch of times. Once he's down to half health, then your character goes, oh, shit. Like, the boss is going to do some, like, super move at you or something. And then just disappears. And then you're just stuck in this, like, arena and you can't do anything at all. I reloaded the mission from, like, the previous checkpoint. Did that, like, 3 times. And the boss just keeps disappearing. I went on the internet. I Googled, like, the name of the mission and then glitch. And then, sure enough, a bunch of people were complaining about it. And apparently, it only showed up. Like, after they released a patch for the game. So they, like, patched in a glitch.
That's awesome.
It's awful! So, I tried to do a different mission, and then that mission was glitching on me. Like, it would just continually reload. Like, I'd get to a certain point, and then my screen, like, loading would just come up, and then disappear, and then come up and disappear. I could still, like, run around, and I could still shoot things. But, like, the entire time, like, a loading screen is going on. And I can't really see what's going on, and then I'll just keep getting mission failed that way. And,
that's unfortunate.
Like my map started messing up. Like, usually when you accept a mission, you get, like, little Pac-Man dots on your map to, like, figure out where to go. And those weren't showing up. There's, like, special moves that you could do to, like, whoever. You just run up and click R3 and, like, you hop over somebody and punch them in the face or, like, suplex people. That wasn't working. So, it's just tons of glitches all over. And I was like, well, guess I'll play again once there's another patch or something. So, I'm kind of bummed.
Me too. I still want to get this game, but that makes me reluctant.
Watch out. But I did read, somebody said if you, like, go into the character options and switch your character to the opposite sex of what you have and then complete the missions, it'll let you do it. And then you could, like, switch back to your character.
That's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard in my life.
Right? I haven't tried that. That's just what I read from somebody having similar issues. So I guess that's, like, what I'm going to have to do. But, yeah, it was fun until, like, everything started breaking.
Man, that sucks. I hope they fix that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just switch your gender.
Or switch your gender, I guess.
Why don't you just do that?
I was playing online co-op at the time, so...
Oh, okay.
I would have to, I think, disconnect from that game and then go out and reconnect, and I didn't want to bother with all that. And, I'm still playing Zelda 2. That game's still really hard. That game has pacing issues.
I think so, too.
I've just realized.
Chris stuck it to me, man. He's like, man, Craig's bitching about Zelda. You think there'd be a whole level of people throwing rocks at you over a fence? No, there's not a whole level. It's just a short segment, but it's a shitty short segment. Shitty.
All right. Well, but dungeons 4 and 5 are like back to back. There's like nothing to do in between. Like you go straight from Palace 4, you get your like boots to let you Jesus walk all over the water, and then you go to the 5th Palace, and that's it sucks. There's nothing to do in between those. I want like back to back palaces. Palaces are fucking brutal. There's these like pig looking enemies that either like try to chop you with an axe or throw axes at you. How do you fight these guys without taking damage? There's like no strategy. If you like try to jump over the axes and slash at them, they'll just like throw an axe at you once you land.
Well, see, here's the thing. The first Zelda was like that too. I mean, they throw you in a room with a bunch of fucking blue, what do they call them? Iron knuckles, dark nuts. I don't know what the fuck they call them in that game. But they would throw you in a room with like 12 of them. The game would fucking crawl. And then,
hey, that was bullet time.
That was, yeah.
That was Link, like, just scrounging up all his resources to slow down time to deal with it.
He could totally, it was called the stopwatch. He could already do that. I used to love pressing select and make him look like Santa Claus with the stopwatch. Am I the only one who did that?
No, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Then the enemies would just walk around and random. There was no rhyme or there's no pattern to those guys. And those guys sucked because they took hearts like a motherfucker and you could only hit them in the side or in the back.
There was if you could like keep a reasonable distance from them and like try to like, okay,
not when there's like 12 of them in a room and then they would throw like bubbles and shit in the room too. You're like, oh, fuck you.
I still don't think it's as bad as like these enemies in Zelda.
No, you're right. But I'm saying, no, you're right. And this is why I'm
saying, because these are like even just one-on-one encounters. And like all the enemy does is run at you and throw axes. There's only two things, and your shield can't deflect these axes.
Right. What I'm saying is there's actually not much difference because that's, number one, that's how NES games were. But that's, they're very similar in that there's no real pattern and the game's just out to dick you. The difference being is like The Adventure of Link was turned into a more action-ish game than the original Zelda was. So that's why you see like this one enemy like just like hurling axes and ducking and raising and lowering their shields and just being general dicks.
I think what makes these guys stand out though, I think so, most of the other enemies are like well designed.
And you're trying to hit them with that stupid Peter Pan sword. Like, man, if I had a real sword, you would be dead right now. Right now, I'm trying to fight you with a spatula, and it's not working out.
But I think most of the enemies like the dudes who like raise and lower their shields and stab high or low. There's an actual something that you could do. There's a plan. You go, okay, I gotta attack high and I gotta block low when he's going. With the axe guys, there's no
they just run forward and run backwards and
they just slice. They just throw axes at you and there's nothing you could do.
Yep.
No, so I think in a game with some well designed enemies, like the ones that are like horribly designed just really stick out.
That's true. Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And I don't know, I just started up Jack Ryan Radio and tried to get some tags. I haven't played it that much. I only played through the tutorial so I could get to the garage and get to my tags. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't been playing much this week.
Hey, you.
Yes.
Hey, what? What? Me? Gum? You talking to me?
Do they speak English in Jet Set Radio Future?
It's been a while since I played Future. Why?
Well, because the English in Jet Set Radio was throwing me off. I was like, I do not remember these guys like talking.
Yeah, they have a hey kid. Yeah, they have some English clips.
That's weird.
Like Beat would be like, "Sup?"
Yeah, I know.
And Gum's like, "Hey you."
Threw me off.
I'm pretty sure they speak English in Jet Set Radio Future.
All
right. Anyway, anything else?
That's it.
That's it for me, too. So I think we can wrap this podcast. I'm going to pour myself another glass of wine.
Wino.
Yeah, at least it's not from a box, so there's that. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening to this audio recording. I have no idea what the fuck we just did. But I hope you enjoyed it.
Are you talking to me?
Well, I hope you enjoyed it, too. Absolutely.
It's all right.
I enjoy my time with you, Seth.
I enjoy listening to your beautiful, sexy voice, Craig.
I talk a lot, don't I?
Especially when you're drunk. You'd be like, Chris, I'm so wasted.
I want to make sure my incomprehensible points are comprehensible. That's it.
You lost me on that sentence. I don't even know what just happened.
Yeah, because I fucked it up the first time I tried to say it. Anyway, I want to thank you for participating, Seth. You're cool.
I want. God damn it, Craig. You need to close this podcast so fast right now.
I want to thank everyone for listening. And until next time, you guys take it easy.
Bye.